This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن شاء الله نبدأ. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We are at what page? Which paragraph?
Page 47, I believe.
Yes. Which paragraph? Do you remember?
The last paragraph on page 47.
By Allah, the hearts of the righteous sort of lived in.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Bismillah. Who's our reader today? Who's going to read?
I will read you, Shaykh.
Bismillah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. By Allah, the hearts of the righteous predecessors lived in dread of hypocrisy because they knew its major and minor manifestations. They knew its generalities and its details, and they thought little of themselves to the point that they feared being one of the hypocrites. Umar ibn Khattab said to Hudhayfa, I ask you by Allah, did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam count me as one of them? He replied, no, and I will not answer this question for any other after you. Ibn Abi Mulaika said, I met 30 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and found all of them fearing hypocrisy for himself. And not one of them said that his faith was like the faith of Jibreel alayhi salam or Mikael, recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari. He also recorded that Al-Hasan al-Basri said, none feels safe from hypocrisy except a hypocrite, and none fears it's safe a believer. One of the companions supplicated thus, Allah, I ask refuge with you from the hypocritical submissiveness. When asked what it was, he replied, that the body be seen to the submissive, but the heart is not. By Allah, their hearts were overflowing with faith and certainty, yet their fear of hypocrisy was great. The faith of many people does not even begin to compare to theirs, yet they claim that their faith is like that of Jibril and Mikael. The plant of hypocrisy grows from two stems.
That's like when he said, like Jibril and Mikael, some people claim that, which is the Murji'ah. Al-Murji'ah is a sect. It's an idea and an article of faith that was developed by several sects, several groups, okay? Which is comes from the word al-irja. Well, irja, it means when you delay or you put things behind, take things out. All this can be called irja, which is referring to not including actions as part of your iman. Al-murji'ah are levels, but some of them said that, and that irja comes from the idea, what is faith, what is iman? So they said iman is to believe that Allah is true. At-tasdiq is to be certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly out there, truly exists. When you believe that, that's iman. Okay? So if this is the case, they said, you believe that 100% that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is out there and exists and he is the creator of the world. That's right? That's right. And Jibreel believed the same thing. Yani you're so certain of this fact, the same way Jibreel is and Mikael is and Muhammad is. Because if you're not certain, you're not a mu'min. You have doubt, you're not a believer. So they said, because of this, they said that faith is equal in everybody. So your iman is equal to the iman of Jibreel and Mikael and Muhammad and Isa and Musa. Doesn't matter. That their idea came from. Because how they define iman? Clear? And yes, obviously, that's not Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, how they view al-Iman, they view al-Iman as a component of several things. It's not only at-Tasdiq. It's at-Tasdiq and so many others, like fear, love, trust, honoring, respecting, you know, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only to believe that he exists, to believe in his greatness, completeness, to believe in his rules, he's the one who legislate all the rules for us and to submit ourselves to him, to be sincere to him. All this part of Iman. We believe part of Iman as well is the actions and the declaration of Shahada. So, and that's where the Murji'a are one of the worst sects in Islam, but they are various levels. Because al-Irja', an umbrella covers so many sects, some of them semi-closer to Ahl Sunnah, like the Asha'ira, for example, and the Maturidis, and also far away from Ahl Sunnah, like the Jahmiya and Al-Karramiya and many other group and sects that you should be aware of when you study the history of these sects and what ideology that they base their belief on. Yes, Ali, follow.
The plant of hypocrisy grows from two stems.
No, somebody was asking a question.
Yes, Sheikh. Sorry, I want you to just repeat that point. I missed it.
I just did this, right?
Yeah, you repeated.
The plant of hypocrisy grows from two stems, lying and ostentation. It grows out of two sources, weakness of spiritual insight and weakness of resolution. When these four factors exist, the plant of hypocrisy flourishes and grows firm. However,
what are the four again? Lying,
ostentation,
showing off,
okay. Weakness, spiritual.
Very good. ضعف البصيرة and ضعف العزيمة. That what caused hypocrisy to grow and to control. ضعف العزيمة, the lack of will. Okay, the weakness of a spiritual insight and the weakness of resolution. Resolution, I wouldn't say the lack of will as well, okay? Why? Because without determination, without strength, you'll fall into these haram stuff, especially when you are by yourself and alone and you become weak. You under any pressure, you will just answer the call of the shaitan. And also, ضعف البصيرة, because that, with the lack of knowledge, that where the spiritual insight, I don't know what that word means, but or what it means to you as an English speaking. But البصيرة, it means knowledge here. البصيرة is when you see through things, and you only see through things by the knowledge that you develop, that the wisdom that you have. البصيرة, also a good word. To translate the word basira is wisdom, and wisdom is based on knowledge. So without these two, you are weak, your iman is weak. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. He said, "Wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haq wa tawasaw bis-sabr." He said they remind each other of haq, which is al-basira, which is the knowledge, and al-sabr, which is the will. That's why the farthest people from hypocrisy are the believe the prophets and messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them as ulil aidi wal absar in Surah Sa'd. Ulil aidi, al-aidi comes from the word ayad wal aid, which it means strength. Wal absar comes from basira. He said spiritual insight, which is basically wisdom and the ability to. And the knowledge. So again, that's what protect your faith. And that's why it's so important for a person to be armed with these two shields. the ilm and the sabr. Because al-ilm show you how to worship. As-sabr is to keep you consistent in worshiping. Al-ilm motivates you to worship. Because you know the ajr and you know what is there for you. And as-sabr is what keep you doing it. Al-ilm would show you that with it, you will understand the dangers of not worshiping Allah, not obeying Allah. As-sabr would keep you away from the haram. You can't separate these two together. And the less of them, the less of iman you will have, the more of hypocrisy you are allowed to grow in your heart. Now,
hypocrisy grows by the sight of waters on the brink of a crumbling precipice. So when they see the flood of the reality of reality on the day when all secrets are disclosed and the graves are emptied out and the heart's contents are brought to light, the one whose capital was hypocrisy will discover that all he attained was a mirage. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا وَوَجَدَ اللَّهُ عِندَهُ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابَهُ حسابه والله سريع الحساب
والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ.
A thirsty yes. man thinks it is water, but when he reaches it, he finds it to be nothing at all, but he finds Allah there. He will pay him his accounts in full. Allah is swift and reckoning. Their hearts are heedless of performing good, but their bodies outwardly do so. And indecent deeds are frequently performed by them. When they hear the truth, their hearts are too hard to accept it. But when they witness...
Hold on. Listen to these descriptions. قَالَ قُلُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرَاتِ لَاهِيَةً. Their heart, يعني وَأَجْسَادُهُمْ إِلَيْهَا سَاعِيَةً. يَا سَلَامُ. Their heart are heedless of performing good, but their body outwardly do so. There is another way to put it together, the way he put it in Arabic. He said, their body, okay, doing the act of worship, but their heart are not with them. It's somewhere else. Yani, their body going to the masjid, but their heart and their mind somewhere else. Their body facing the Qibla, but their heart facing somewhere else. Their hands facing up to the heavens, but their hearts and their mind, it's all over the place. What a description. Similar to what the Quran said, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ سَلَامٍ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدًا. It's like an empty tree, a trunk, but from inside it's dead. And indecent deeds are frequently performed by them. SubhanAllah, when I watch and I listen to so many of those, yani, have very clear sign of hypocrisy. Okay? Who speaks in media as, and they carry Muslims' name and they, some of the Muslims, but you can tell there's so much hypocrisy on them. Those who always have all the signs that we talked before about. SubhanAllah, one thing about those people, that they love indecency. I don't want to give you any too much of an example. How many people spoke of behalf of Islam and majority of Islam, blah, blah, blah. And he was caught in a striptease club. And he was, you know, his basically, he was caught on the, what is that website? Ashley Madame, whatever, that website that became a scandal. And some people point out all those who so-called calling for moderate Islam, anti-terrorism, anti-Madri-ish. And those who criticize religious people and talk openly bad about them, you'll find that indecency is something that's so frequent in their life. Look at so many of those people who speaks in media and stuff like that in Muslim world, or these actors and whatever, singers, and they speak on behalf of Islam, are Muslims in the Muslim world. You know, so many of them. When you look at their private life, it's so corrupt. And the corruption in it, it is almost associated with what? Indecency, fawahish. Nas'alullah al-afiyah. That's why if you find yourself that you are frequently in the realm of indecencies, you're enjoying it and you attach to it and you don't feel, you know, you easy to fall on it. That's a sign of hypocrisy. Yes.
By Allah, these are the signs of hypocrisy, so beware of them. Beware of them before the judgment comes upon you. When they are entrusted with something, they break the trust. When they promise, they break it. When they speak, they are not fair and just. When they are called to obedience, they falter. When they are called to what Allah has revealed and to His Messenger, they turn away. But when it suits their whims and desires, they rush to it, leave them to subjugation and misery they have chosen for themselves. Rely not on their contracts and trust, not in their promises, for they are liars. Surah Tawbah, verse 75. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Verse 77, فَعَاقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقٌ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمٍ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ.
Among them were some who made an agreement with Allah. If He gives us of His bounty, we will definitely give in charity and be among the righteous. But when He does give them of His bounty, they are tight-fisted when it's with it, and they turn away. So He has punished them by putting hypocrisy in their hearts until the day they meet Him, because they failed Allah in what they promised Him, and because they lied. Peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and companions.
Hold on, hold on. This is a very scary verse. This is really something that makes the believer think so much about hypocrisy and make us look at, and I'm so glad and amazed by how he ended this chapter with this verse, because it brings a very different perspective to the concept of hypocrisy, okay? Listen, from what we just heard, hypocrites are people who pray, and not only pray, they are, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى وَلَا أَتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. So they come to the salah, okay? But they're lazy, come lazy, and they do it fast. Also, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ, they mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Okay? And those hypocrites, also in the same time, we find out, interesting, that they give in sadaqah, they give in charity. Okay? Like what you just heard right now in the verses that he recited. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَهَدَ اللَّهِ, that some of them have made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they give, if Allah give them money, they will donate. So they donate for the sake of Allah. And when they give وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ, they give out of force, you know, not really willingly, but they feel like force into it. So what I want you to pay attention to in this verse, when he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them by putting hypocrisy in their heart. Why? Because they made a promise to Allah that if they have money, that they will give for his sake. When the money came, they became stingy and they did not give. And because of that break of promise, change of heart, breaking the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, breaking that commitment that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah punished them by letting hypocrisy grow in their hearts. This verse gives me a very interesting perspective and different perspective about hypocrisy. I always wonder why Umar will fear hypocrisy. Why Umar ibn Husayn will say, I pray every salah that Allah protect me from hypocrisy. What is it that they're so scared of it? Well, Ibn Abi Mulaika said, I met 30 companions. One of the reasons, in my opinion, one of the reasons for understanding that amount of fear is this verse. That you don't know what promise that you will break with Allah. And it can cause that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let hypocrisy to grow in your heart. Is it the promise that you made so many times that you break Fajr on time, but you don't? You keep breaking it. Is the promise that you promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're going to put your hijab? Is it the promise that you made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're going to stop the haram relationship? Is it the promise that you made to Allah that you will not watch the haram? Is it the promise that you promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will give donation and you will do charity? Is it the promise that you will, you know, change the course of your action with your spouse because you are unfair, unjust? Is it the haram money that you have that you promise that you will give away and you will get rid of? What is it? Is it the promise that you're going to go to Hajj, but you have not yet? Is it the promise that you made that you will read the Quran and you will change your relationship with the Quran, but you're not doing it? And because of that, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِقْفَاقًا. And the scary part, the scary part is the next, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ, punished them by putting hypocrisy in their heart until the day they meet him. La ilaha illallah. Because they failed Allah. And when you fail Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have failed yourself, not with anybody else. That's just a promise for sadaqah. Promise for sadaqah. not a promise for something that is absolutely obligatory on you. That's just scary. And that's what made everybody fear hypocrisy. Because I don't know how it can be put in my heart. Hypocrisy is level, as you've been repeating this concept multiple times now. Multiple levels. That hypocrisy is not the same, you know, there are very different levels. So it's important for us to understand that. You don't want this to grow. Yes, there are hypocrisy in aqidah, which is take you out of the fold of Islam. You have no iman, no faith completely, you know, and you're just saying that you're Muslim, but indeed you're not. There is hypocrisy in actions, which is when you break these promises, when you don't fulfill the commitment that you have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you keep breaking the rules, when you show something that is not you, not because of weakness, because of desires that you prefer and you love over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, hypocrites and hypocrisy goes so deep in the heart to corrupt the belief. And the more you collect from these small, it's like weeds, it's cancer cells. They allowed it to grow and grow and grow and grow until it killed the person. Hypocrites are mentioned in the Madani Surah, that's right. Hypocrisy was one of the verses you'll find in the Madani Surahs, not the Meccan. Anybody knows how many Madani Surah we have in the Quran? Okay. 17 of them, hypocrites were mentioned, and hypocrisy was mentioned. More than 50%. 340 times, or 340 verses in the Quran, speaks about hypocrisy. When Allah classify humanity, he said, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَّحِيمًا. So Allah punished the hypocrites, men and women, and the disbelievers, men and women. And ulama rahimahullah said, he started the hypocrites before the disbelievers. And the third category is the believers. Same categorization you find in Surah Al-Baqarah too. And in Baqarah, he mentioned the kuffar, but he mentioned after that the hypocrites and gives so much details about hypocrites. Because hypocrisy is so dangerous. As he said, Ibn al-Qayyim, from what we read, it's hidden. It goes to the heart, the king of the heart, of the body. And it basically takes control of the body. It's so hidden and easy. Start with a small thing and it grows. So that, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said, one of the things that I fear the most, قَالَ مُنَافِقٌ عَلِيمُ اللِّسَانِ. I fear so much from a hypocrite who have a good tongue, he knows how to speak. So we read, Ibn al-Qayyim said earlier in the beginning of the right, if the reading, said the Quran, almost all of it about hypocrisy. And hypocrites also are dangerous in the society. We're not here to talk about hypocrites as much as we talk about hypocrisy, because these sign of hypocrisy can grow in the heart. And he just said they break promises, they basically the truth for them, they come to it. When it's against them, they rejected it. You know, they don't mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. So these signs, the more you find them in you, the more dangerous it is. And be very careful from hypocrisy because of that I said in the end, the verse that we read, that it can be a form of punishment. Make sure that your tawbah is sincere. You're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from hypocrisy, because that can be a result of these promises that you broke with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A brother in Toronto once came to me. And he said, Sheikh, I came to Toronto from my country when I was like 15, 16, something like that. At the age of 18, I used to sell water, radiator water in the street, making some money, start making good money, far out from the religion. And I said to myself, I come from a very religious family back home. And I said, Ya Allah, I want to marry a hafiz of the Quran, a woman who memorized the Quran. So she helped me to be straight. Anyway, regardless of the choice or how the method of choosing the wife, but I think he was sincere and he married his sister. She graduated from, mashallah, a famous Quran school, hafiz of the Quran. He married her. And he said, just to help me to be religious. And I said, Ya Allah, you give me this. And when I marry, I will be good. I will change. I will be like straight. He said, Sheikh Waleed, I didn't change much. But I improved a lot, actually. But not the way I should. I still do stuff which is not right. But he said, over the years, I said to Allah, Ya Allah, give me $1 million. Okay? He said, give me $1 million. And I will give 50% of that $1 million for sadaqah, for that school where sister graduated from. I'll give it for the sake of Allah. He said, at that time, I don't make even 30,000. And this was like in the late 90s or 2000. He said, Sheikh Waleed, Allah gave me $1 million that year. I wrote a check for $500,000 donation. Next year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me not 1 million, more than a million. I gave maybe 30%, 35%. The year after, Allah give me even more than the 2 million. I give 20%. I have millions of dollars right now, Sheikh. I can tell you, I haven't given my zakat yet for a couple of years. And he would just broke in tears. He said, Sheikh, I read Quran, I don't enjoy it. I pray, I feel like it's just movement. It's so scary. It's so scary when you think about it, that this is, could be the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Hypocrisy in their heart. Because of all these breaking, all these promises to Allah. Don't feel like you are, no one of us have any rights over Allah. Except if we worship Him, that He will not punish us. Except what He made a promise upon Himself. Right upon it, but we don't have a favor, a special favor. We don't demand things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think because every time you keep making these promises, and you don't really taking that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala serious, don't take it for granted. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ خَلَاص طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah sealed their hearts, turned them away. كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ. Allah doesn't want them to be part of the army. So he made them distracted and not to join. He doesn't want to see them in the battlefield. None of us should be ever feeling that, you know what? No. I have a special relationship with Allah. No. The only special relationship comes with Allah from your own good deeds, not from your bad deeds, not from breaking promises and crossing lines. Not saying, oh, my iman is perfect while I'm doing all this haram. Now you might start connecting the dots why he mentioned all these words and throwing these points. Because this is at the end of that short section that he talked about, the sign of hypocrisy. And I think there is way more to be said about hypocrites and the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them when in the Quran and the Sunnah. I said there's so many verses in the Quran speaks about hypocrisy, but I hope that is something that maybe raise awareness about this issue more and talk about it more. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to keep making this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hypocrisy. Abu Darda, when he finished his tashahud, used to say, "A'udhu billahi min al-nifaq. A'udhu billahi min al-nifaq. A'udhu billahi min al-nifaq." What is your business with nifaq, ya Abu Darda? You're the one who shouldn't worry about it. He said, "No, that's not true. Inna al-rajula layuqlabu andini fi al-sa'ati al-wahid biqlamin." You don't know what can happen to your heart turn away. That's why the mu'min fear it. Hypocrites don't think about it. When Imam Ahmed said, what do you think if someone said, we should not fear hypocrisy? We should not fear hypocrisy. And Imam Ahmed said, who would say that? Who would say such thing? That's why based on how much iman you have, how much fear you will have from hypocrisy. Okay? So this is basically a concept that you need. I'm glad that we read about it. I'm glad that we create kind of awareness about it. Because there is some people say there is no nifaq exists on earth anymore. Like there is some group, some sect, which is Al-Murji'a, who claimed, okay, he said, not exists anymore in the world. Okay, so they said there is no such thing, it's called nifaq in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hypocrisy was exist in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not anymore. And one of the evidence they said that Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was asked, he said, today there is no hypocrisy. Today is a clear kufr. So the Murji'ah said, that's our proof. But Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu himself have mentioned how he fears hypocrisy and how people and you should fear hypocrisy. He said that to his students in many statements, some of them even, I think we quoted it. And what Hudhayfa meant by there is no hypocrisy today, he said that hypocrites, if they are openly shows that they don't believe in Allah, if someone openly say, I don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm only saying Muslim just to be with the Muslim, but I don't believe in it. That will not be dealt with in the same manner that the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the hypocrite. And if you notice, Nabi ﷺ knows that Ibn Abi Salud is not a Muslim, but yet he never applied punishment to him. But if we have somebody like Ibn Abi Salul today, or in the time of the Sahaba, on the time of the Tabi'in, he will be treated like someone who abstained. He will be facing the Hajj. He will not be treated the same way that the Prophet ﷺ treated them. And that's by agreement, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said. So that's what Hudhayfa was trying to say. Said today, if somebody, we know that hypocrites in that sense, like the true hypocrites in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, will not be treated the same way. That was a special case in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, so it will not be said Muhammad killing his companion. But after the Prophet ﷺ, the ruling changed. That's what Hudhayfa meant. And that's what Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, that's how the ulama have understood his statement. As for them to say there is no hypocrisy, Hasan Basri said, was asked, serious people say no hypocrisy, because al-irja appeared in a very early time in history of Ummah. Al-irja was common in al-Basra and in Iraq especially. And the one who came with the idea of al-irja, al-Jahm ibn Safwan. Al-Jahm ibn Safwan has three jim, you know, the letter jim, has tajahum al-sifat, which is denying the sifat, and has al-jabr, which is you are have no choice, have no free will, and you do everything by force by Allah. And you have irja. These three things that Jahm and Safwan came up with, which is to say an iman is just to believe that Allah is true and he is the true God. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, and I hope he get the fourth one, which is Jahannam. He will be have the fourth one, which is Jahannam. Hassan al-Basri was asked, said, there is people who say there is no nifaq. They don't fear nifaq. Then he said, I wish there is no nifaq. That's not true. That's true. And Sufyan al-Thawri, when was asked about what's the difference between Ahl al-Sunnah and al-Murji'ah, he mentioned 3 points, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, one of them he said, they say no hypocrisy, and we say there is. Okay. And they said that hypocrisy was the only in the time of the Prophet. So the Prophet said, for whoever has them, he's a hypocrite. The hadith, the famous hadith Ibn Umar that we mentioned. Okay, like lying and making promises, and when you disagree with someone, you become aggressive, overly aggressive, and so they said this ahadith talking about individuals would exist in the time of the Prophet. Obviously, this is very, very wrong. Very wrong. That's not what this hadith sounds like. He said, four quality, whoever has them, whoever. Man kunna fi. Okay. And I said, when Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said what he said, in another narration, he said, in the old days, hypocrites used to conceal their hypocrisy. In modern days, hypocrites say it out loud. Yani they have no shame. Hypocrites in the time of the Prophet ﷺ have shame, but today they have no shame. What Hudhayfa was talking about, which is, I agree, today those people who have sign of hypocrisy, they don't shame to lie, don't shame to say, to go online and to disagree with you and to say things which is not true about you and spread all these lies and just because they disagree with you. Once Ayyub al-Sukhtiyani, a man told him, it is either kufr or iman. There is no hypocrisy today. Then Ayyub al-Sukhtiyani said, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآخَرُونَ مَرْجُوُونَ إِلَىٰ لِمَرْجُوُونَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Are they believers or kuffar? The man said, I don't know. Then he said, go read the Quran. Every verse in the Quran. Mention hypocrisy. I am afraid of it. I'm worried about it, that I'll have that quality. And I ask Allah to protect me from it. This man was trying to say, it's kufr iman, no sins. Yani nothing. He's like among those who believe Either you're a mu'min or a kafir. Either complete iman or complete kufr. There's no nothing in the middle. There's no like a Muslim, but fasiq. A Muslim who have sign of hypocrisy. A Muslim who have practiced sins, you know? So he said, so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and there is others, marjuwuna li amrillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might punish them or might forgive them. What about those people? If you say they are among the believers, how can a believer, Allah will, complete believer, Allah will might punish them. And if you say they are kuffar, how can you say Allah might forgive them? So there might be some believers who mix their belief with sins that require or deserve, or they deserve hellfire because of it. Because see, al-murji'a or al-khawarij, both other two ends, those who see al-iman is one unit and kufr is one unit. Said, if you enter hellfire, that's it, out. Never go out of it. Because you only enter hellfire, you're a kafir, not a mu'min. So anyway, they see iman as one big unit, which is at-tasdiq. This is murji'a. And khawarij too, they see al-khawarij, you see it as one big unit. But the unit is, for al-khawarij, is actions and also belief. But it's one unit. If you lose part of it, you lose the whole iman. You cannot, like, it's not levels. Al-murji'a is one unit, which is at-tasdiq, which is to believe that it is true, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a true God, a true creator of the world. Some of them said that to believe that he exists, not even the truth that he exists. What's the difference between you and the shaytan in this case? Or the kuffar of Quraysh, they believe he exists. Some of them said to believe that, to say by your tongue, even if you have no belief. If you say by the tongue, la ilaha illallah, that's it, you become Muslim. They claim that the Karamiya said that. Karamiya. And many different groups in iman, yani this is not the place for it. But all this basically coming from a misunderstanding of what an iman is, that an iman is levels, and an nifaq is levels, and shu'ab and branches. Al-kufr is branches. Some of these branches take you out of the fold of Islam, some of them will not. Some of these branches of iman, missing it, it will make the whole iman missed, not your iman, and some of them not. Okay, Yani, with this, I hope we have a better understanding for the concept of an iman and kufr. Inshallah, next week we'll start with a new reading, the new book, inshallah ta'ala. I will have 3-4 minutes left for comments or questions. And after that, we'll inshallah read from another book, inshallah, for starting from next week.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I had a question, if you have time, please. So it seems like hypocrisy is related a lot to success. So for example, you were saying this, a lot of the Madani surahs that mention hypocrisy. Now, how do we reconcile that with, you know, it seems like, I mean, it scares
Related to success? You
said? I mean, success in the dunya sense, like, for example, wealth. You know, the more wealth you get, the more likely you're to fall into hypocrisy. So then it scares me.
Where do you get that connection from?
From what I understood, like you were saying, when the Sahabas, like Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, when he became a leader, obviously the Ummah's doing better. And even when they got to Medina, it's obviously the Ummah's in a better state. And that's when they started to, you know, like you're saying, there's more revelation about hypocrisy in the Quran. So from my understanding, you know, there seems to be an element of...
Yeah, no, there's no connections. I never said that, but there's no connection between the two. Because in Medina, hypocrisy started not from the Sahaba, not from the companions. The hypocrisy started from the non-companions who were in Medina. It is because it appeared in Medina because Muslim became powerful. And this hypocrites, because basically they tried to cause trouble. The level of hypocrisy at that time in the time of the Prophet ﷺ were mainly the hypocrisy that has to do with the aqidah, which is he never really believed in Islam. He hiding his Islam because he want to disturb. He want to create disturbance. He want to create fractions. He want to start fitna. But none of the Sahaba. Success is not related to hypocrisy at all.
Okay, does that clarifying? Yeah. I get scared that the more we you know, if we become successful in the dunya, the more likely you are to maybe go towards hypocrisy. But that's not, you're saying that's not the case, inshallah.
It depends. More money, there is more money, more fame, more power, there is bigger fitna. So for example, if I am now have so much to lose, I'll start under the banner of being politically correct, protecting my assets, protecting my business, protecting my status, you know, my political career, my future. I will not say the truth. I will stop saying, you know what I'm saying? It's okay not to say the truth sometimes. Yeah. Okay? But it's not okay to say the falsehood. There's a difference between the two. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, say good or remain silent. But I cannot say what is evil, what is bad, what's wrong. I might not be able to say what is right. For whatever reason, the person in front of me will not understand it. The person in front of me will not tolerate it. It will cause more harm for me. It will be a waste of time. I can just remain silent. But it doesn't allow me to say the falsehood.
JazakAllah khair for clarifying that, Sheikh. And Sheikh, if no one else has a question, I had another one, sorry, but I'll let anyone else go first.
I don't know if there is a hand, but I don't know how that works.
It's my hand, sorry.
Okay, sorry. Looks like a man's hand.
Assalamu alaikum. Do you mind if I ask a question before yours, Hiba?
Sure.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. JazakAllah khair for the session. Sheikh, I had a question. You mentioned, that people who break their promises with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the examples that you gave of somebody who asks for more wealth so that they can give 50% in charity, and then they go back on that promise and nifaq builds in their heart. How then do you sort of reconcile that with, say, individuals who perhaps want to grow in their faith, in their wealth, and they say to Allah, oh Allah, help me with this so that I can be grateful. Oh Allah, give me more wealth so I can help my family. And the intention is there to help their family. What's the difference between the two? Are they equal? Is there a way of asking Allah to make situation better for you so that you can be more grateful without it being a promise or a challenge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that makes sense?
Yeah, but that person made a promise and he break it because he became stingy. He doesn't even give his zakat anymore.
Right.
He loved money so much more than anything else.
Right.
So that's the problem. The problem is not the money. The problem is when you became a slave to the money. It's okay to have money. It's okay to be successful. It's okay to be famous. But if that means that you break Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rules and promises with Allah, it's one of two. And that's the fear. The scary part, if you made that claim and inside your heart, you know you're not going to keep it up. You know that you love money more than al-akhirah. That's really hypocrisy.
Okay, Sheikh, barakallahu fikum.
Yes, sister, who was asking earlier, we can end with that.
My question was, you mentioned earlier about, for example, there's people in the public front who, you know, have been talking about Islam and then, you know, certain allegations come out about them. Now, what should we do as individuals where, say, we've been following someone and, you know, up until now, we've only heard good things from them about Islam and have brought us closer to Allah. And then we hear like, you know, accusations. Because obviously you don't want to just fall into the slander, but at the same time, you know, what if the accusations are true? What do you do going forward, you know, gaining knowledge from this person? Because at the end of the day, only Allah knows the truth of what actually happened. So how should we proceed?
Accusation is accusation, but what I was talking about is not someone who has a good front No, no, no. Someone who is known for his record speaks so loud of him attacking good Muslims, attacking Muslim community, making fun of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, spreading bid'ah, spreading an Islam that is not according to the way of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He always like caused trouble to the Muslims. And you know, this already hypocrisy. I don't need any other proof for it. It's so clear from the way they talk, the way they basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if he wish, ya Muhammad, if Allah wishes, he would make you recognize them from their faces, but you will not. So that's why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and some ulama said that it is very rare to recognize from the look the hypocrite. But what Allah said next, وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ, but you will know them from the way they talk. And that's something will be consistent until the day of judgment. You can tell, you can see the hypocrisy coming out when they start talking, especially about certain subjects. Can you believe that today? I was listening to someone who said, Qatar having a sign around the stadiums saying a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Bukhari, whatever. He said, "Di garima." He said, "This is a crime. This is a crime." And this person comes and speak about Islam and about moderation and about this and about another person said, furious. Why it started with Quran? Why you bring somebody to quote the Quran? You can see from the way they talk, so angry. And they call him, this name Muhammad, his name Ahmad, his name. So you will, that's what I'm talking about. But some sheikh or some da'iyah or some student of knowledge has a scandal, you know, get in relationship with women or steal money, or that's weakness, that's sins. No, I'm talking about like when I give the example of those people who know of their double standard, they always talk bad about Muslims and trashing Muslims and always. SubhanAllah, when you look at their private life, it's so corrupt, filled with indecencies. They put that front as if they are, you know, the ideal. But SubhanAllah, it just double standard. You know, it's like they have a say in Arabic. I'm trying to find a nice way to put it. The problem, if I put it in a proper language, it will lose its power, because in Arabic, it is a very strong word. It says in Arabic, حِينَمَ تُعَلِّمُكَ الْعَاهِرَةَ الشَّرَفِ, when the whore teach you virtue and chastity. You know, it's just that powerful. So this is the example that I give for those who always put that front face, and they are very, unfortunately, there's several of them have a big mouth and big platforms that they speak and talk and always attacking the Muslim, always attacking the Muslims and the people who practice Islam. Somebody comes and speak about my sisters who wear hijab and niqab, and he said, those women are this and this and this, and he trashed them and accused them with indecency. And just I said to myself, just wait, this guy, Allah will expose him. Those hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expose them. And their life is full of love for indecency. of faculty. Anyway, I hope that explains what that means. It has nothing to do with someone who fall into haram and became a scandal around him and stuff. That's a sin. Unless this person has completely two different lives. That's scary.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh, for clarifying. That was really helpful.
But inshallah, I will text you guys my suggestion for my next book. But I might ask you guys a question first in the group. I want to know what kind of background that you guys have in studying Aqidah and stuff like that. So to know what will be the next book suitable for your group. InshaAllah. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Congratulations for finishing the first book.
Alhamdulillah.